Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. Sometimes God gives you exactly what you want. Ahab and Jezebel wanted a vineyard, and they got it through a great injustice, of course, but they got what they wanted. God let them have it. And sometimes he punishes unbelief, and in the case of Ahab and Jezebel, their idolatry with more of the same. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We'll be talking about Ahab and the prophet Micaiah. Dr. Ken Cherb is our guest. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of a sermon series titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Hey there, Todd.
Remind us of what we were talking about last time.
Well, we saw how the prophet Elijah had gone from that great adrenaline rush of the Lord's smashing victory over the false god Baal and 450 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel to being depressed and dejected and nearly despairing. Not long thereafter, Elijah fled out into the wilderness, not so much because Queen Jezebel had threatened his life, which she had, but rather because Elijah was just spiritually dismayed that so much opposition to the Lord and lukewarmness toward the Lord remained. So, at Mount Sinai, probably in the very same cave where the Lord had revealed himself to Moses, the Lord now comes to Elijah in this low whisper and tells him, among other things, that there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, even in human terms. In other words, Elijah was not alone.
Give us a peek into what we're going to talk about today.
Well, this time we seem to have before us a stunning role reversal. King Ahab still on the throne in the northern kingdom of Israel, but today he's not dealing with the prophet Elijah. Instead, it's a lesser-known prophet, at least lesser-known among us these days, one by the name of Micaiah. Now, this prophet, Micaiah, was telling wicked King Ahab of Israel to just go ahead and do what he wanted to do, and do it with the Lord's blessing. And that is, of course, surprising because prophets of God were not in the habit, really, of telling wicked kings to fulfill their heart's desires. And still another topsy-turvy thing comes about when Ahab responds to Micaiah. Ahab gives Micaiah strict orders to say nothing but God's own truth. Now, of course, that's surprising also. Wicked kings usually did not want the prophets to tell them God's own truth. But in reality, this role reversal is only apparent and on the surface. Micaiah was actually being sarcastic when he told Ahab to just go ahead and do what he wanted, whatever he wanted to do. And that must have been evident from the prophet's own tone of voice. As a prophet, Micaiah was saying what the Lord had told him to say, complete with the proper tone. And Ahab, the king, for his part, was just simply insulting the prophet. He knew that he got God's true word from Micaiah, and he got it every time, whether he wanted to or not. In this case, he knew that there was more that Micaiah could say, and Ahab was curious to, well, hear it all.
What went on in Old Testament history between our last topic and the one before us now?
Well, the northern kingdom, Israel, had suffered a couple of invasions, actually, by the nation to the north of them, the Syrians, and others too. The northern kingdom's capital city, Samaria, even came under siege. And twice the Lord gave Ahab and his forces victory over their enemies. And that was to impress all over again upon Ahab the lesson that, well, he should have learned from the Elijah and the prophets of Baal incident back on Mount Carmel, you know, that the Lord is God. But instead of repenting, Ahab and his wife Jezebel just found themselves flush with victory. And they wanted a vineyard in the city of Jezreel. They wanted to use it as a royal vegetable garden of sorts. The owner, a guy named Naboth, did not want to sell. So Jezebel arranges for accomplices to bring false charges against this guy Naboth, saying that he had cursed both God and the king. And Naboth was found guilty, and he was stoned to death, which, of course, cleared the way for Ahab and Jezebel to get that vineyard. This really is a little character study of these two. Ahab, incited by Jezebel, sold himself to do what was evil. That's what Elijah told him. And eventually, Ahab did humble himself before the Lord just a bit. And because of that, the Lord said that the coming disaster for his house would not strike during his own reign, but rather would come during the days of Ahab's son.
Tell us the story then of King Ahab and the prophet Micaiah.
Well, this episode begins when Ahab is striking back at the Syrians, who, remember, had invaded his country a couple of times. He wants to take back Ramoth-Gilead, the heights of Gilead. Ramoth-Gilead was well east of the Jordan River, and back when the kingdom was still united, all 12 tribes together, Ramoth-Gilead used to be in Israelite territory within the tribe Manasseh. But now it had gone out of Ahab's grasp into the control of Syria, and Ahab wanted to annex it back into his 10-tribe northern kingdom. In preparation for the battle to retake Ramoth-Gilead, Ahab appealed for help. He reached out to the king of the southern kingdom, who was Jehoshaphat. Unlike some of the previous kings of Judah, Jehoshaphat tried to live on peaceful terms with the northern kingdom. But make no mistake, Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And it was a little bit more than just barely possible that he would really refuse to get involved in a plan hatched by Ahab. In this case, a joint military operation is what was being proposed. But, perhaps surprisingly, Jehoshaphat did commit his troops and his horses to the effort. And as soon as Jehoshaphat said that he was in, well, now Ahab's riding high. He's getting help from Jehoshaphat and Judah, and so he figures, how could his plan fail? And there were some 400 prophets who were quite willing to assure Ahab in the name of the Lord, not Baal, you understand, but the Lord God, that the Lord would grant Ahab a smashing victory at Ramoth-Gilead. And so Ahab was growing cocky to the point of overconfidence. Now, it's unclear just where Elijah was when all this was going on. He had not yet been taken up into heaven by a whirlwind with the chariots of fire. But Elijah to the side, Ahab could still think of a prophet that he did not want to ask about advice from, and that was Micaiah. This prophet, Micaiah, is known to us only from this one single incident in the entire Old Testament. And he brings the true message of the Lord in this case, unlike those other 400 prophets who said they were bringing the Lord's word but turned out to have a lying spirit. Ahab, of course, does not want to consult him. He complains that Micaiah never has anything good to say about me. He was always prophesying things that Ahab did not want to hear. But Jehoshaphat insisted, and so Micaiah was brought before both kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat.
It sounds like Ahab was blaming the messenger.
Yeah, when he was blaming Micaiah, that's exactly what he was doing. And the world does that, right, Todd? The world often blames the messenger. It blames preachers to this day. It blames Christians, period. See, we tell a wicked world that no one escapes God's judgment. We tell an irresponsible world that the Creator of all things has not stopped holding people responsible. we say to a smug and self-assured world, you don't belong to you any more than I belong to me. Now, these are things that the world doesn't want to hear. People in authority don't want to hear things like that. These days, it is striking that some legislators and other government officials think it's inconvenient and politically incorrect, to say the very least, that God, in his creative design, has made marriage to be and remain the union of one man and one woman. And, of course, there are other power structures besides government, maybe not as formal, but certainly no less real, where the words and actions of Christians of all sorts of things will not find a welcome necessarily. So when someone stands up to peer pressure and does the right thing, those who have chosen to just kind of go along with the group will often chafe with discomfort, or maybe they will seethe with resentment. And so there's opposition. Even within the church, it can become necessary to cling to God's word even when others seem to have forgotten it. Even in the church, the supposed good of the organization can be a higher ranking priority in people's minds than what the Lord says. Like the prophets of old, and in all sorts of settings then, we say we have to obey God rather than men. And whenever we say that, something the world will not want to hear.
Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. It's our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that very phenomenon in the church. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
St. Jacobi Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Wisconsin has a special guest each and every week. It isn't you, but it is Jesus Christ. He is a guest, and He is also the one who comes to serve you with His preached word and His broken body and shed blood. You are invited to be served by Jesus on Saturday evening at 6:30 and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Visit www.stjakobi.org for more information.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155. Thanks to our good friend and faithful pastor, Dr. Scott Murray, and Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, for recently renewing their membership in our congregational sponsorship program. Many churches are putting together their budgets right now for a new fiscal year on July 1st.
When your confessional Lutheran church pledges an annual contribution of $1,000 or more to Issues, etc., we'll promote your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. Find out more about our congregational sponsorship program on the support donate page at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. We're talking about Ahab and the prophet Micaiah in our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year with Dr. Ken Sherb. He is author of the sermon series, The Old Testament Collection. So, Ken, before the break, you were talking about the willingness to compromise our principles. I'd like you to say more about that phenomenon in the church, if you would.
Well, we have this problem, of course, in the church because the church is composed of sinners. And the old sinful nature within us Christians does not want to hear God's word any more than some unbeliever wants to hear God's word. The sinful nature, you understand, doesn't want to hear anything that God says, whether he's speaking in curse or blessing, judgment or forgiveness. Not surprisingly, when the time comes to step forward and be counted for Christ, our old Adam just backpedals. He backpedals furiously. If he takes a stand at all, he would rather take his chances on the comfortable words, say, from 400 lying spirits, then he wants to stick with the words from the one who tells God's own truth. Now, when Ahab did that, when he decided to take his chances with the 400, it ended up spelling disaster. And that's why, despite the protests of the world outside of us and the sinful nature within us, we continue desperately to need God's word. No less than the world around us. We in the church need to hear the word of the Lord. Only he can help us.
So what did the prophet Micaiah tell Ahab and Jehoshaphat?
Well, at first he was being sarcastic, like I said a while ago. But then he went on to say that he saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd, without a master. In other words, he was saying if Ahab goes ahead and goes through with this plan, he's going to die. And Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. And he pointed out the lying spirit that had influenced those other prophets. Far from what they had predicted, this, he assured the kings, was going to be a disaster. Ahab disregarded all that. He went ahead anyway. In fact, he ordered Micaiah thrown into prison, and he went on to attack Ramoth-Gilead. The last thing Micaiah said to Ahab was, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. But of course, the Lord had spoken by Micaiah, and Ahab was going to his doom.
So what happened in the attack?
Jehoshaphat kept his word. He joined Ahab in going up against Ramoth-Gilead. Now, Ahab did at least heed Micaiah a little bit. He took a precaution. Before he went into battle, he disguised himself. But he was fatally wounded in the battle. His soldiers left the field in disarray. Micaiah's prediction came true. He really meant it when he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord.
You have quoted Luther in this series, God's word cannot be without God's people, and conversely, God's people cannot be without God's word. That saying seems to bear a little repetition here.
Well, it does. Luther, of course, meant that God's word will always touch human hearts, because inherent in that word lies all the creative power of the Creator God. His word never returns void. It always creates a people for him, and those people will in turn cling to his word. And on the other side of the coin, God's people have to have God's word. They have recourse to it again and again. It remains the source of life for us. Because God's word shows us our sin, of course, but it also, far more importantly, shows us our Savior. As truthful and effective as God's word is in pointing out our iniquity and the ways that we do not deserve his love, well, so truthful and effective it remains when it directs us to the crucified and risen Christ and the forgiveness of our sins on account of him. On account of Christ, God has a much better word for us than Micaiah had for Ahab. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus was like a lightning rod for God's wrath against sin and sinners, taking your condemnation, Todd, and mine. When he rose from the dead, it was to proclaim not only his victory, but also our victory in him. So, one word from this crucified and risen Lord changes everything. On the first Easter, you may recall, Jesus came right into the room where the disciples were. These were men who had abandoned him, even denied him in the case of Peter. And at the moment, they were fearful, they were cowering, they weren't capable of standing up to anybody. But when the risen Lord stood in their midst, obviously alive and well, yet still bearing the marks of his crucifixion, his first word for them is not one of rebuke or reproof, it is peace. One word from the crucified and risen Christ changes everything. His word remains that powerful.
So we need the message of law and gospel that God's word actually brings, not necessarily what we want to hear.
Yeah. Of course, in a sinful world, we never lack for people who will tell us things that we want to hear, like Ahab with those 400 prophets. And we can find the words that we want to hear very agreeable. Such words call for no penitence on our part. They demand no change. They set us up for no potentially uncomfortable situations or undesirable circumstances. But on the other hand, they bring no lasting peace, no eternal forgiveness. Remember the message of Micaiah. Hear the word of the Lord. Fix on it. Focus on it. This remains the way not only for individual Christians to be strong in the Lord, but also for the church corporately to draw strength from the rock of our salvation. We need this word no less than the wicked world needs it. Hear the word of the Lord.
Give us a true and false review.
True or false? When Israel's king Ahab wanted to take Ramoth-Gilead back from Syria, he got no help from Judah's king Jehoshaphat. That's false. Jehoshaphat did help, but he insisted on hearing from all the prophets before they went into battle, and that, of course, included Micaiah. True or false? Ahab was reluctant to call on the prophet Micaiah for a message. And that's true. Ahab said, "He never has anything good to say about me." True or false? Micaiah predicted that Ahab would succeed in his venture. Well, that seems true on the surface, but it's false. I mean, that's the words that Micaiah had said, but he apparently said them so sarcastically, even Ahab knew better. Really, Micaiah's prophecy, when it was drawn out, was that this battle was going to be Ahab's last. And true or false? Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord." Absolutely true, and that's what we've been stressing here. It's exactly what we need to do. The psalmist said, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people. But let them turn not back to folly."
No less than the world around us, Christians need to hear God's word. Give us a final thought on that.
Well, Todd, suppose you were suddenly hauled up into court. Imagine how you would feel as you hear the judge read charge after charge after charge against you. And suppose that those charges were really all valid. I mean, you know that, and everybody else knows it too. But then suppose the judge summarily pronounces you not guilty of each and every charge, one after another. How much that pardoning word from the judge would mean to you. I mean, you'd delight in the pardoning word because it says you're not guilty, and you're free to go. And you would also value the fact that that pardoning word comes from no one less than the judge. Because unlike the word of anybody else in that courtroom, the judge's word really counts. One word from him changes everything. When the judge says you are not guilty, you must be treated as not guilty by the court and its officers. They have to let you go. So here's the most powerful reason to cling to God's word. It pronounces sinners not guilty on account of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of Evangelism and Missions, Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
A pleasure to be with you, Todd. We'll talk to you next time.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Andrew Walker answer the question, should churches discipline Christian politicians? We'll continue our series responding to Roman Catholic proof texts, talking with Dr. Stephen Parks about Roman Catholic Mariology, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on God creating the world in Genesis 1 and 2. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
To Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.